Welcome to the Butts the Seats podcast, episode number 132.
Has it only been 132?
Yeah.
We've recorded so much for the Patreon recently that the shot that we took for 130 feels light years ago.
Well, we also did a shot for episode 30 for the Patreon, like, right after, too. So,
yeah,
that was for the first of now three parts of an Eric Bischoff book report.
Listen, I'm sorry.
So today we're here to talk about the September 25th, 2000 WCW Nitro, a.k.a. the one where Vince Russo wins the world title.
Kinda.
Talk about
needing a shot, though.
Emily, what is it we do here?
Nick, we take a week-by-week look at the downfall of WCW in the late 90s.
Actively happening downfall.
The active lava flowing down the volcano that is WCW.
We see two cars headed towards the intersection, but we're powerless to stop it. Yes, today is the infamous Vince Russo WCW title match winning, kinda. We'll get there in the end.
It's so fucking stupid. Let me just preface. This is a bad episode.
Yes.
This is infamous for one reason, and it should be infamous for the rest of the show as well, because holy fuck, this was bad.
I think I've kind of warmed to some of the rest of the show, but this is a very bad episode of television.
I was texting Nick throughout this and tweeting. Follow us on X at Butts in the Seats. This is up there for probably the worst episode of Nitro that we've ever watched.
Yeah, I think we've each used that card like three times so far.
This has to trump all of them, though.
I don't know. The thing is, I did find some things enjoyable here. I had a little bit of a choice for best bit, so. But we'll get to that at the end. Yes, today we're talking about the September 25th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro, live from Long Island, New York.
Long Island. I'm from New York.
I hate to say this, the show did a better rating than last week. People were interested, kinda. That said, it went from a 2.75 to a 2.9.
And we need to note that they didn't know what they were turning on when they turned it on.
Well, they hyped up the Russo title match, so that's why, you know, potentially might be able to tune in.
Yeah, but they didn't know the steaming pile of garbage that was to come prior.
Yeah, I wonder if people were like, they're not actually going to do it, are they? That said, Raw still did a 5-4. And to transition into our backstage notes, yeah, this was the first week of Raw on TNN as opposed to USA, and
didn't really seem to matter.
Down a touch.
Nope.
Which is potentially why they did the big, title might change angle.
Because they thought that people were not going to...
People inside WCW were like, we might win this week.
Oh.
They won't be able to find Raw.
It's the year 2000. Like, channel guides are a thing.
Also, click. You'll get there eventually.
Channel surf, yeah. Is it one of those things like not every home that had USA has TNN?
I think they're both cable channels. The problem is you're asking me to remember details from you.
I know. It's very different in today's cable world.
Because TNN is now Spike, so which I think is still Spike. I don't think that changed.
I don't know.
So it did not give WCW the ratings boost they all expected. Apparently everyone thinks Russo's going to be fired soon.
Well,
but going back to TNN, so we've talked a bit about how screwed ECW is.
Yeah.
Because they are on TNN and they're about to get canceled because Vince McMahon has an exclusivity agreement on his contract.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, well, basically they don't want to risk them and WCW being on the same channel.
Right.
Vince apparently opted to waive that deal for ECW. But ECW is still like fucked financially. I think they end up getting canceled soon anyway.
It was a nice move on paper.
Yes.
But didn't end up mattering in the long run.
Paul Heyman had burned his bridge so much with TNN that it's like, yeah, it didn't matter. Without giving anything away, Pamela has some heat because she apparently no-showed the previous bikini contest that Shay won.
Oh.
We talked about that a couple episodes ago.
Okay.
And people were like, oh, why is she getting a prominent spot if she no-showed a show? Apparently it was due to, like, the ankle injury she suffered on, like, a Thunder or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I don't know.
That's not very hot heat.
So, Emily, Lance Storm is on this show.
Uh-huh.
What champion is Lance Storm?
The Canadian champion.
Yeah, he apparently lost that title in between last show and this show.
What?
He lost it to Terry Funk during a Texas House show.
Terry Funk?
And then he regained it, and WCW went, we're never going to mention this.
I didn't realize Terry Funk was still with the company.
Oh, yeah. He's around for a bit.
Oh, jeez.
We have not done a goodbye to Terry Funk.
Oh, okay.
I think you honestly just may be thinking of when he died in real life. We had to talk about him.
No, I'm generally not. It's just it's been a while since we've seen him. Yeah.
For what it's worth, the title change is not listed on like the official lineage either. So it was very much a pop the crowd and then just put it back the next day.
Pretend that never happened.
The next note, I guess, is technically for the Thunder upcoming. Juventud Guerrero apparently like blew his knee out in a match with Rey. Okay, no, he's mostly fine. And he actually just signed a new contract this week.
With WCW?
Yep.
For how many years? For how much money? Probably for like 10 years and like a bajillion dollars, right?
See, I think you're referring to the end of the company.
Yeah.
And not the fact that Hoovy gets fired in 2 weeks.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mark Madden is currently feuding with a writer on onewrestling.com, which my only reference for that is the massive sign that went in the background of one show we watched.
Oh, okay. Can we find that on like the Wayback Machine, maybe?
Maybe. But he apparently went on Wrestling Observer Live to like talk about it, and Russo was pissed at him for going on the show, despite the fact that Vince Russo has been on Wrestling Observer Live.
Jesus. Well, because it's his thing. Other people can't do his thing.
Oh, I just realized how funny this is. Apparently the Nitro Grill is closing soon. In my weather report, I will mention that, like, hey, the Nitro Grill's still open because they're advertising someone to go there.
Oh, well.
The ICP apparently no show the upcoming Thunder. I think it's because one of them is actually hurt.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too.
Vince Russo and JJ Dillon got into an argument because Russo heard Dillon talking about how bad the last Nitro was.
Well,
Chris Candido and Sonny came to Nitro, but WCW was like, nope.
Oh, shit.
No interest in you.
Leave.
DDP asked for his release, was told no.
Damn. Where's Canyon at?
I know, he just vanished too.
Yeah.
Because he wrestled in like that fatal four-way, like, all right, who's the number one contender going to be for Fall Brawl? And then just vanished.
Yeah, I don't know.
And last note, from last week to this week, after Vince Russo was going to main event this Nitro in his hometown, apparently a grand total of 200 additional tickets were sold.
Wow. Damn.
I don't have attendance and paid for this one, but I can't imagine.
It can't be that high. No one gives a fuck.
But that brings us to the weather report, where there's always thunder. Fun fact, I just found out that sound effect, apparently it's called Castle Thunder, and it's from like an old Hanna-Barbera kind of thing.
That makes sense.
It's not exclusive
Castle
to SpongeBob.
Castle Thunder, that tracks, because that's like a haunted castle.
Yes.
With like a moat or something. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that animation.
So Vince Russo came out and was like, I'm going to win the title on Monday. Booker, you have the night off. He was confronted by Scott Steiner and Jeff Jarrett. Russo goes to immediately mace Steiner and sprays him. And Steiner goes, cut that shit out.
So that does come back. Gotcha. All right.
So, yeah, they actually explain why they're all good on this episode. Because
okay.
We just tuned into Nitro. Like, wait, why are these guys all fine?
I didn't actually question it that much because I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
Vince Russo points out, if you had beaten Booker, it wouldn't have counted because Booker wasn't in the match. And I'm like, but he was actively in the match.
But he was in the match.
So, yeah. So it's like, okay, I tried to save you. And they set up a number one contenders match, triple threat for the main event of Thunder of Jarrett, Steiner, and Sting. And we'll get to that in the end of this section because that's a whole different mess.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mace having no effect on Scott Steiner, which, one, the man is wearing sunglasses, but just it's also just
glasses.
Clearly water. Jeremy Borash takes over for Stevie Ray. He gets kicked off commentary because he's Booker's brother. And Borash is just insufferable most of the night, just glazing Russo.
Oh, and that doesn't stop.
Yeah. The Young Dragons face Mark Jindrak, Sean O'Hare, and Mike Sanders. And Emily, who do you think got the pin in that match?
Mike Sanders?
Incorrect. So there are six options.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there's six people in the match.
Oh, right.
Okay. None of them are correct. Leia Meow just, for some reason, slaps Yang, takes off her boots, hits a diving senton on Mike Sanders, and wins.
Jesus Christ.
So just for the record, in the span of 3 days, the Natural Born Thrillers lost to Leia Meow and Tigress.
I mean, there's like 12 of them.
There were
but
only
they're
three
all
in
being
this match.
Buried. Every single one of them is being buried.
Vince Russo then set up a, like, worked match for later in the show where he's like, hey, make sure you sell for me out there, big guy. It's like, oh, he's going to face the Masked Heel. That is the actual name of the wrestler.
El Grande Americano.
Yeah, it's like he has 28 Olympic medals and, you know, his dick's 3 feet long. He's amazing. And apparently, at some point, Stevie Ray, I guess, beat the guy up and took his clothes. Cause
oh, God.
Stevie Ray comes out as the masked heel and in the middle of the match just starts no-selling Russo's offense, hits him with a slapjack and goes, I'm going to leave some for Booker, and just walks out. So
okay.
I guess Russo wins by count out.
Okay.
We got a lava lamp lounge with some of the Miss WCW women. We get Chiquita and Che coming out to be like, there's more than just you guys. We're also in this contest.
Who is Chiquita? I've literally never seen her.
One of the other Nitro girls.
I don't remember her at all.
And for some reason during this, Mike Awesome is playing up, I might be a judge for the bikini contest.
Oh, really?
They announced it last Nitro that it was
I
the Whack
they
Pack.
Did. Yeah.
Because on Thunder they go, it's the Whack Pack.
Okay.
And I swear on this show they go, hey, it's going to be the Whack Pack. I swear Jesus Quack Pack at one point.
He does, to the point where I write down Quack Pack a couple of times, and I Google Quack Pack to get their names, and they're like, oh, actually, it's the Whack Pack. God.
Quack Pack is definitely a thing for fucking DuckTales.
Oh, sure, probably.
Oh, so the women are upset about Awesome, you know, not being a judge, so they trash his set. Great.
They're upset that he's not a judge? So
because he was like, I might be a judge. Like, basically, I will take bribes in the form of sex.
Oh, I see. Sex me, and you might win.
We get a segment of Team Canada wanting to burn the American flag.
Jesus.
MIA come out to stop them, and, like, Generation, like, shields the flag with his body to, like, not be burned, which sounds cool, but in reality, it's just folded up, and he's, like, holding onto it while getting stomped. That's all it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, cool.
They try
to
grab it, and he's like, no, mine.
Mine.
Like a dog would. Also, context for tonight, Vince Russo told Chronic to take out Stevie Ray, and they had a moment of match to where they could, like, kill him, and they went, no, we'll just win the match. So,
does that play into tonight?
Yes, because Chronic is not in the Battle Royal because of
that
segment.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
I thought it was just because of fuckery from last Nitro.
Nope, just that's why, because they could have murdered Stevie Ray and chose to just...
And
it was basically,
not to.
Hey, we have a chair, like, actually set up. Do we want to do a high time on Stevie to where his neck lands on the chair, and they go, nah, and they kick the chair out of the way, and then hit still at the high time and pin him. Like, they don't let him go.
They just don't let his neck break.
Yeah.
Oh, no, how dare. What assholes.
This is where I note the Nitro grill is still open. Not for long.
You know, a part of me will always be sad that we were never able to go to the Nitro grill.
Yeah. I don't really know what they're doing, because clearly they go back to this next Thunder, but they do a number one contenders match with Rey Mysterio and Juventud Guerrera, like, for the Cruiserweight title, and It's a good match. Mm-hmm. Conan's actually good on commentary because he's actually putting it over and not doing, like, bits the entire time. Hoovy wins, but we'll see if he actually gets a title match.
Yeah.
Apparently, they set up a best of five series.
Oh, God.
On the next Thunder, so. But, again, Hoovy will be gone before they finish that.
Right. I feel like I still have trauma from just tournaments. I don't do tournaments.
It's a little different.
It is and it's not.
See, when I think WCW and best of, I think of Shane Douglas and The Wall, the best of five tables match.
Oh, yeah. See, I like that, though. I like that idea. Again, on paper, I like the ideas. That's the problem with WCW. They have good ideas that they do not execute well.
We got our sit-down interview with Stacey Keibler.
Yes, tell me more about this.
So it's Mike Tenay and her. Mike Tenay is in weird misogynistic dickhead mode, the whole thing. I had to actually show you a clip from the end because I'm like, you need to know the vibe of what this is.
Yeah, he's just being a dick for no reason.
Because, yeah, he, like, slut shames her and at one point is like, if I wasn't a married man, I could have had a crack at you, I bet.
Jesus.
But she immediately, like, apologizes to David Flair, like, trying to get him back, I guess.
Okay.
Apparently she only cheated once, so whoever it is, like, is the father.
Jeez. She cheated once and got pregnant. That's just bad luck.
Mike today is like, well, I see you're already showing, so you won't be part of the Miss WCW swimsuit contest.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I forget what line sets it up, but she goes to, like, badly fake. I don't know if it's meant to be fake crying or she just actually can't cry and has to, like, just doesn't take the hand over the eyes to, like, crying. And Mike today ends the segment with, save those tears for someone who cares. Boy, she's going to make a terrific mother.
I feel like you almost need to put in that audio because my God, was it cutting.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the segment. And again, we don't see her on Nitro, so I don't know when we're done with Stacey Keibler. That might be it for until, like, the last month of Nitro.
Stacey just leaving, getting berated, crying. Yeah. God. Thanks for playing, Stace.
She's also the victim of the inaccurate Wikipedia article, and I can only like control F Stacy and Hancock for so many like so many Nitro summaries.
Yeah, I know.
So she shows up in fucking January and then disappears for 2 months again. I don't know what to tell you, man.
You're doing the Lord's work over there.
So in that triple threat main event I mentioned earlier of Sting, Jeff Jarrett, and Scott Steiner, Vince Russo announces, hey, the title match is going to be Caged Heat.
Okay. Was that not announced?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
Yeah, I kind of missed that on this show until like halfway. I went, what?
No, they mentioned that there was a cage at least. Like as the show started, they said like, oh, there's the cage looming above us.
So in a bit, I just don't understand. I really don't get at all. Booker T comes out to interfere in the match because Sting is getting worked over.
Okay.
He comes out as Sting. He is wearing Sting's gear and face paint, but he's Booker T, so he's black. And it's just like, oh, I think the ref's confused. What?
What?
It is bizarre.
Is he like wearing a wig?
No.
What the fuck? What are you confused about?
Why? What, me or
no,
the ref?
No, like the ref. What is the ref confused about?
The other element of this that is entirely stupid is, so Booker comes out as Sting for whatever reason. Sting then gets in the ring. So there's two Stings in the ring.
Spider-Man
see and double. Four Stings. Vince Russo interferes, and the triple threat match ends in a disqualification when Jeff Jarrett hits Sting with a guitar.
Which Sting?
The actual Sting.
Oh, okay.
Because he was going to put Russo in the Scorpion Deathlock.
I don't understand.
But it's a triple threat. There are no DQs.
That too. I don't understand.
Plus, I'm 90% certain a chair got involved earlier in the match too. So
there's no DQ.
Nope. Ends in DQ.
Okay. Fuck me, I guess.
But yeah, I don't get why. I just don't get why Booker came out as Sting.
As Sting. That's. Yeah. I'm glad to see that. Like, I really do sometimes want to watch Thunder with you.
The Hoovy and Ray match wasn't bad. It was.
You were saying.
I wanted to be a little more, but.
Yeah, you were saying that it was pretty good, though.
I think now that I know they're set up a best of five, they were clearly holding back a little bit to kind of have that. But
plus, we need to catch ourselves when we're grading on a curve.
Yeah. Ooh, but with all that, let's get into our main show.
Oh, Lord. We've got a lot to talk about.
So we start with a Vince Russo video package.
It's very like Vince Russo, I Have a Dream.
A little bit. In this, they do know that Vince Russo is undefeated. Apparently, he stays that way throughout his entire time in wrestling.
That needs like 17 asterisks on it.
Yeah. He beats Stevie Ray by Stevie Ray just walking out of the match. Like,
right.
A winner wasn't even declared for what it's
worth. Right. This is like Kurt Angle's win streak where it starts like fall apart towards the end. Where it's like, oh no, I'm still winning. I still win.
Earlier today, I don't know why it had to be earlier today, Vince Russo arrived with Jeremy Borash. I'm like, it's pretty dark. Is that not live?
Was it dark?
Yeah.
I'm
always noting the fucking time of day for this shit. Jeremy Borash hypes him up, but Russo tells him to shut up. And
Jeremy Borash, that's a hard name to say. Jeremy Borash is such a little fucking shit this whole episode.
Yeah.
Like, I texted Nick 10 minutes into the show. I was like, oh shit, I think I need to turn it off. I can't do this. And part, it was because, like, this was the first thing that I had was just Jeremy being a little shit.
I think dweeb is the word you're looking for.
Dweeb, kiss ass, brown nose, I don't know.
We get our lengthy Nitro opening package and opening pyro. Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and Scott Hudson on the call. And we go like directly into our first match. It is an I Quit Stickball Bat versus Kendo Stick match of Big Vito versus Johnny the Bull.
So based on that title alone, you would assume that the Kendo Stick and the Stickball Bat are assigned to specific players, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Stickball versus Kendo, one versus the other. There should only be one of each, and one should always, and they should both be in play.
I mean, right? I think really, like, it, when you set up like that, you're setting up, like, which is really the killer weapon. And Emily, I don't know if you're aware of this, but speaking of killer, Johnny the Bull goes on to wrestle in TNA as a character called Relic, and Relic is killer spelled backwards.
You know, you don't say it as often anymore, and I don't anticipate it anymore, and I don't understand why I don't anticipate it anymore.
You know, the funny thing is, I've never written the joke into my notes.
Jesus,
I just do it like.
I hate it here. What is divorce spelled backwards?
Johnny the Bull. So, Vito greets a random woman in the stands.
Oh, yes, this is Maria. This is his sister. And yes. We actually do get a call back to the wedding.
Yes, I did not go back to look. I do not believe she's there.
It's probably
I appreciated the callback. But thank you, Tony.
I loved the fact that there was a callback because I loved that scene. And the fact that they had a wedding reception in a tent in the back of Nitro still makes no sense to me. But the lore.
Do you remember how that night ended for the Mamalukes?
No.
They got stretchered out.
Of the wedding?
No, because they had a match with David Flair and Crowbar.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it was meant to be a tragic end to the wedding. But then they like, challenged them to a stretcher match. I think it, like, Uncensored or whatever
the hell
it was.
Whatever. But, of course, Mark Madden can't let anything lie, and he calls her a tramp. So,
yeah,
classic.
Match starts. Vito hits stickball bat shots, and then a candlestick shot. And that's basically the match. They do not do anything besides, I hit shots, you hit shots, I hit shots, you hit shots.
But they both do them with kendo sticks throughout the match. The stickball bat does not come into play until like 3/4 of the way through this fucking match. It's kendo stick versus kendo stick, Nick.
Yeah. Vito hits a wind-up uppercut strike with a kendo stick, and Johnny the Bull eventually clotheslines Vito when Vito plays the crowd. Johnny the Bull sticks Vito in the corner, and the crowd just kind of seem ornery. Like, I don't know what they're reacting to. It just doesn't seem like the match, though.
No, they don't care.
They just kind of seem to be stalling for a bit. Johnny the Bull hits a spin kick, and they eventually do, like, the trade shots back and forth. I think that's where the bat actually comes back in.
It's hard to say, because I know they do trade shots with 2 kendo sticks.
They just don't do anything. Like, it is literally just things happening with no thought to how or why.
Yeah, welcome to this episode of Nitro. Fuck it, welcome to Nitro until the end.
We get a low blow to Vito, but then Vito just, like, kicks Johnny the Bull kind of out of the ring, and I don't know if it's intentional, but Johnny kind of gets, like, caught in the ropes, falling out of the ring, and Vito hits some more kendo stick shots. Reno comes out and kendo sticks Vito, and this is where I realized, I'm like, why the fuck is this an I quit match? Oh, they're gonna have the sister come in and quit for him.
Oh, you called that right away?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought there would actually be a towel, admittedly, but
no.
As soon as, like, Reno came out, I went, oh.
I wasn't totally understanding why Reno was there, but I also just keep forgetting that Reno exists.
Well, if you recall, him and Vito have some family business.
Oh, I don't
remember. That was his debut, was Doc and Vito, because they had family business, and then he joined the Thrillers, and they just dropped that.
But he's not Italian.
I don't know.
I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, so Reno puts Vito in a tree of woe, hits him.
That
hits
was
him.
A rough sentence. Reno puts Vito in a tree of woe.
In a tree of Vino.
Oh, a Vino tree. Hey, let's go.
He hits some kendo stick shots. Maria jumps the barricade, struggles to get in the ring.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens.
I wonder if she's, like, never been in a wrestling ring before.
She gets in between Vito and Reno, and the ref claims victory for Johnny the Bull. Because remember, he is the winner of this match, not Reno.
Yeah. Yeah, because Vito's sister said I quit for him.
Yeah, so
this is a mess.
Because there's family business. I'm like, all right, I guess Maria is going to be a recurring character now.
For however long they decide to keep her. This is a 2-week story.
I don't know. I think they do something with this.
Do you remember Hugh Morris's father?
Fair.
Come on.
However, this was terrible.
Uh-huh.
I think I put almost too much stake on this, because they just hit each other, and not even, like, fun, hard-hitting, like,
no.
Oh, shit, like, spectacle. Just in a, we're out here doing things.
Yeah, we had 5 minutes to fill, and we didn't plan anything, so I hit you, you hit me.
Like, Reno's beatdown to have Maria come in and go, no, like, please stop.
It wasn't that damning.
Yeah. Wasn't anything Johnny the Bull wasn't already doing to
right.
Vito.
Yeah, this was really, really bad. And honestly, I forgot that it was an I quit match. So when Maria came in, it was like, no, please stop. And they called for the bell. I was like, it's not a DQ match. Do we fucking, but
well,
I guess she said I quit.
They only mentioned the I quit portion, like, at the start. I don't think they even noted after until
yeah,
the end.
Until the end. Yeah, so that's how this episode starts.
Yeah.
We are like 10 minutes in and I'm done.
Backstage, JB hypes up Russo, and I'm like, why is he suddenly here as Russo's buddy? This is kind of weird.
It's really annoying. It's not even just weird. It's just annoying.
Commentary chats Russo, and then they pivot to David Flair. Somewhere in the world, we see David Flair kick a random guy off a payphone to get to a phone book to look up an address.
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
But it's kind of funny. It's like it's a indicator of the times that is where you get addresses from. It was, like, chained to this payphone. It was very, very, like, old school. When's the last time you saw a payphone? When's the last time you saw a phone book?
We then get Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner coming out to the ring. And, Medeja is with Steiner. So Mark Madden makes some boner jokes.
Sure, of course he does. Snoochie Boochies.
Just a little bit, just to note the difference. Steiner's out in black chainmail this week as opposed to the silver.
I didn't even note that.
Just like, oh, you have two, okay. Jared says that Russo's going to win the title, Slapnuts, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys are all good. Because admittedly, I watched Thunder after this, because like, why are you all good?
Yeah, you were like, what am I missing?
Steiner cuts a your local sports team promo and calls out Jumbo in the crowd.
Yeah, I guess Jumbo is a New York Jet?
I guess. I should know him. I don't. He then says he ran Goldberg out of professional wrestling and brings out Vince Russo. And it's like, yep, I guess we're all fine. And it comes up later as well. Does Steiner actually think Goldberg quit?
He might.
Because he's constantly like actually surprised. And I'm like, no, that was just heel bullshit. You don't actually...
I don't think he actually ever quit.
He didn't.
Yeah.
So Russo comes out in a custom Giants-looking jersey. I noticed no logos, so I'm like...
Giants-looking. It's blue with white lining. That's all.
And the red little...
Oh, was there red on it, too? I didn't even see the red. I was like, it's just a blue jersey.
The font is like the exact same as well. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, not an official Giants jersey, but you do have an official Giants helmet later, so...
Official. Like, that could be a kid's toy.
It's licensed, is my point.
Yeah, licensed, sure.
The jersey's not licensed. He also has Jeremy Borash by his side and security. And Russo just cuts a face hometown promo. Like, I'm going to do the city proud and become a legend. And I'm like,
yeah, but then he just starts shitting on Atlanta. And he's like, oh, I'm from Atlanta now. Like, I didn't know that there was like a beef going on at this time.
Yeah,
like,
Yankees Braves would be a rivalry at the time. And
out of context, that made zero sense.
Yeah. Obligatory John Rocker reference here. And I could be wrong. I swear. After John Rocker gets mentioned, Scott Steiner goes over to Jarrett. I think he's asking, who the fuck is John Rocker?
Yeah, I believe that.
Because there's definitely a chat happening between the two of them. And yeah. I'm like,
it's like, do we like this guy? Do we hate this guy? How should I be reacting?
Russo says he has the Spaldings to win the title tonight. And
the Spaldings?
Yes.
Because of balls. That's funny.
Then we get Sting's music hitting. And who appears on the Tron, Emily?
So it is Booker and Sting, but you can't hear it because the music is so loud that they're talking on the screen, but so quietly that we can't hear what the fuck they're saying.
But also, Sting is hiding behind Booker to start.
Yes.
So Sting's music hits and just cuts to Booker just looking at the camera.
And then, like, Sting kind of, like, bobs and weaves behind his head and shoulders, like, trying to be, you know, quirky or whatever. But the music was so loud in the arena that we could not hear.
It's a dub.
Oh, well, that's probably why.
Yeah.
I had no idea what they were saying on there. I was just watching their facial expressions.
Yeah, he tells Russo to turn around. And I literally thought he meant, like, someone's going to be in the ring. But no, somewhere in the crowd, it's Goldberg. And the crowd doesn't pop because I don't think they know where he is in the crowd.
Yeah, they literally don't know where to look. No one knows what's going on.
What a shit reveal.
I know, right? For this kind of big return.
I mean, he literally missed one show.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I said kind of big return.
Yeah, I don't really know what was accomplished through all of this besides, hey, Goldberg's here.
I think just that. Boom, Goldberg.
And Russo wants to be a fiery babyface in Long Island. Or Uniondale, wherever the fuck they are.
Uniondale.
Backstage, Mike Sanders approaches Chronic. He calls them cupcakes, so they big dog him. And they're like, we'll kick the shit out of you.
I think that Mike Sanders is trying to, like, make Cupcake his thing.
Yeah.
I got that feeling in this episode.
I think he used it on Thunder, too.
Oof. Cupcake is not a good one.
Sanders informs them that Russo is still mad at them from Thunder because they didn't kill Stevie Ray. So they're out of the tag team battle royal about to happen. Brian Adams, why don't you just cancel the thing then? Tell Russo that.
Yeah. You're not that good, brother.
Yeah.
No one else is that good either, but you are not that good.
Apparently, Brian Clark has a plan, and we cut to the ring where it's just full of tag teams. So were they just going to be late?
Don't think about the timing logistics too hard.
So in the ring, we have three count. The Harris Brothers, MIA, the Young Dragons, and Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare.
So the Young Dragons were a strange reveal because we get this weird shot of Lea Miao just slapping Jimmy Wang Yang in the face.
She has her whole dominatrix gimmick going on.
But with this group, I don't remember her being part of the Young Dragons.
I don't know that we've seen them on Nitro yet. I've seen them on Thunder a couple times, but yeah, it is just
Young Dragons on Nitro.
I'm saying with Lea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a thing that's happening. I don't...
Yeah, she's really leaning into this dominatrix shit, and it comes back later, and I hate it.
So the Filthy Animals then come out, and the bell rings mid-entrance, and I'm like, what?
Book it, start running.
They dive into the ring, so yeah, I guess they are part of the match. It is a tag team battle royal. Tony Schiavone with the line, the idea here is to get eliminated.
Is that what he says?
Yes. Mark Madden catches him. He's like, I think you mean not eliminated, but
Tony does not care.
And notably, both members of the team had to be eliminated for the team to be out. So, because I hate the, if one person's out, it's like, all right, you got to go like tap the other partner on the shoulder and be like, you're out.
Yeah, that's true.
Typical battle royal stuff early on. Like just, you know, casual brawling. We get an H-bomb to Kaz Hayashi and Thriller's eliminated him. And we get an H-bomb to Shane Helms and he gets double hip tossed over the top rope to the floor through a table? What?
Yeah, where did the table come from?
The wall, I think.
Is that his thing? He just comes out and sets up a table.
That seems to keep happening with him.
Yeah, I think that's his like gimmick, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Just like through a table, because I'm like, oh, that's a hell of a bump. What?
Oh, there's a table. Yeah. Okay, sure.
He had it on Thunder too, but yeah, just Mark Jindrak not having any arm accessories is just upsetting to me.
So while all this is happening, Conan is on commentary with Mark Madden and Tony Schiavone.
Just burying everybody.
There was a really funny line, though.
Okay.
Conan apparently is just overstaying his welcome and won't stop talking. He says, Tony, I have a question. And Tony says, I can't answer all of them, Conan, but I guess I'll try.
Oh, yes, I remember this.
It was very, like, parent telling the kid to shut the fuck up. Well, I can't answer all of your questions.
He's trying to do a bit as, like, people are getting eliminated, and it's like, yeah, no, he has to call the match.
Yeah, like, I guess I'll try. I can't answer all of your questions. Oh, this just made me laugh.
We then get Chronic just coming out. And like, okay. They eliminate the Harris brothers. Brian Adams hits his scary F5 to Hoovy. Chronic just dominate everybody. Eliminate Jamie San and Shannon Moore. Poor Chavo during this.
Yeah.
Because he clearly is setting up for a spot. And he's just sitting on the top rope
he's
going.
He's just waiting for someone to get in place. It's like,
not even sitting.
Sorry,
he's standing. Just like
can
crouched.
Can I just quit fucking around? Can I just like do my thing?
Oh, his spot is a diving dropkick on Adams. It's like the one bit of offense they fucking take.
Jeez.
Clark eliminates Corporal Cajun, and Adams hits a scary-looking press slam to Chavo to the floor.
Yeah.
Because he, like, can't get him up. And to add to the scariness of it, one of the security guards is fucking early on his cue.
Oh, really?
He's in the ring before the slam's over. Because we have security here to mace Chronic, and...
Okay, granted, I have never been maced.
No.
The mace that shoots out of the sprayer is in, like, one beam of shot, and it's like, doesn't really have much velocity.
I know. I anytime they shoot it, I just picture, like, a clown with the water flower on, the, like,
yeah,
on his chest.
Of. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Or I was getting more, like, Spider-Man, like, web toy when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you have the thing on your hand, and it's like, bleh. That was more of the vibe that I got. But, I don't know what mace looks like when it's sprayed. I've never sprayed mace. I've never had mace sprayed at me. But I just imagine it's not that.
Did you catch Conan's line as Chronic is getting maced?
No.
They're actually selling the mace.
Jesus Christ. I hate this show.
Dude,
I hate
Chronic,
this show.
I think Conan, like, really hates Chronic. He buries them hard and accurately.
Like, real life hates? Maybe.
I don't get fun from Conan when he's talking about Chronic.
No.
Like, we don't get, like, oh, they're a bunch of strawberries. It's like, no, these guys fucking suck and shouldn't be in the company.
Let me tell you why they should not be here.
So after getting mazed, security handcuff Chronic and take them away. So yeah, so clearly the company did not approve of what they did. However, everyone eliminated is still out.
Right.
So we're down to Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare versus Hoovy and Ray. A match that should have just been the match to begin with.
You think so?
They shouldn't have stripped them of the titles. If the result is...
Spoilers.
Jindrak and O'Hare win. If you want to have them win the titles, just have them beat Hoovy and Ray.
I guess that's
what
fair.
Is the point of this whole fucking dog and pony show of a battle royal and vacating the title and like just have them win?
Well, Conan has to be on commentary. And,
well,
you and Chronic has to have their fun little mace spot.
And which woman is going to end up beating the fucking Thrillers? At that
right?
Point?
Yeah, we never know. Do you think that was a good idea for them to put the titles on Jindrak and O'Hare?
I think it's fine. They don't care about the division.
No, but Jindrak and O'Hare kind of suck.
Oh, and we'll get to that. We'll chat at the end. Because we do have the rest of the match. The Thrillers hit big slams until some Hoovy quickness, and the Animals hit a poetry in motion. Sean O'Hare gets his foot up on a Bronco Buster that looks stiff.
Yeah, it did.
Jindrak hits his torture rack neck breaker. They call it the Make It Rain?
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, so I guess bonus, who's that Pokemon for Mark Jindrak? He's apparently Golden Go, whose signature move is Make It Rain.
Thanks for our Pokemon history lesson, Nick.
Sean hits a Shauntan Bomb, and they just don't go to eliminate Ray for some reason. We didn't get Disco running out. And
with his fucking duck.
Yeah, he hits Hoovy with the duck. Hoovy no-sells it. And Disco goes to pull Hoovy over the top rope, but doesn't quite get Hoovy all the way there. Paid professional wrestler Mark Jindrak just stands and watches Hoovy just like float on the rope. Sean O'Hare aspect, no, like let's get him out. Conan chases Disco off as Sean O'Hare pushes Hoovy off and is actually eliminated. The bell rings, but Ray is still in the match because the Thrillers go to attack him.
Sure.
Ray slips out of Jindrak's grip, almost eliminates him. Very Royal Rumble 2006 vibes from this. O'Hare gets Ray on his shoulders, drops him crotch first on the top rope. Mark Jindrak hits a springboard clothesline, eliminating Ray. So your new WCW Tag Team Champions, the Natural Born Thrillers of Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare.
Jesus Christ.
And Mark Jindrak struggles to like raise the belt, and we just cut to a sexy lady's leg.
Yep. They don't get to celebrate at all.
This buried like the whole division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucked. It was bad. And then you put the titles on Jindrak and O'Hare. Well, you made it worse.
Yeah.
You made the division look bad and then made it worse.
Like, Chronic coming out and killing everybody just made everybody else look like chumps.
Uh-huh.
However, when you see the whole division out at once, you're like,
oof,
oh, it is just chumps.
Yep. We don't got a lot going for us here.
Yeah.
This was really, really bad. Really, really bad. That's two for two now. Real bad.
Yeah, and I love how it's like, oh yeah, Chronic shouldn't be out here. But if you got limited by them, yep, you are definitely still out. We're not going to like restart this.
Yeah, we're not restarting the match. Fuck you, I guess.
One person got eliminated before Chronic came out.
Oh,
but yeah, I'm fine with the Thrillers having the tag title. I wonder if they're going to do like Freebird rules where it just rotates between all them.
Probably.
I could see, but we'll see where this goes. Clearly, they need some more teams in this division.
Do they, though? They're not going to care.
I still laugh and I'm like, oh yeah, we have a cruiserweight tag title eventually, and it's like the week before Nitro ends.
Jeez. I was like, when are we doing that?
Yeah, I think it's literally like a week or two before Nitro ends.
Wow.
So back to the sexy lady's legs. It's Tori. She's
oiling up. She's getting ready for the Miss WCW pageant.
We then get Mean Gene, who I don't know whether he's here to interview Pamela or he's here to interview with Pamela, but she's in some big fur coat. And I think they make a beaver joke. I didn't bother to rewind the 10 seconds to figure it out. But Emily, who else is here?
It's the Whack Pack!
Do you have everyone's names from this group?
Do I? Hold on.
Because this is only a portion of the Whack Pack. There are... The roster is deep.
Okay, and no, like, I don't have their names.
According to Wikipedia, like half the people who have ever been in this group are dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because... Like, the Whack Pack is like 40 people. It's just, hey, Howard Stern has a bunch of freaks he likes to bring on the show and like or characters. And I never know how much, I never know how in on the joke they kind of are with all this.
See, that's kind of what I was worried about. Because there's like the pervy one. There's the drunk one.
The pervy drunk one.
There's the perv, the drunk, the guy dressed as Superman. And there's like two more.
Yeah, so we have Hank, the angry drunken dwarf.
That one. Well, yeah,
I have the actual. I have the like what their actual character names are, not what Gene announces them are.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because Gene absolutely fucks up his name. We have Crackhead Bob.
Crackhead Bob,
who clearly just seems to be someone with special needs.
He's, I think, is the pervy one.
No, because Hank, the angry drunken dwarf, is like, I like to see Pamela naked.
There were two pervs.
Yeah.
He was more drunk than perv. And there was another guy that was more perv than drunk.
High pitch Eric, who, like...
His whole thing is he just speaks in a high pitched voice.
But, like, he's clearly putting it on. Like, I just...
Clearly.
That's the one, like, I don't get the thing. Hank the Elephant Boy, who...
So there's two Hanks?
Oh, I guess. Wait, is it not Hank?
Did you fuck up?
Oh, sorry. It's Fred the Elephant Boy. And for some reason, if you look up Whack Pack Elephant Boy... There's an article from Howard Stern, and there's three photos attached, and one of the photos is just a clearly, like, red carpet, like, Legends House photo of Mean Gene.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Okay.
And, yes, our final member of the Whack Pack here tonight is Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
No, sorry, that Sting's thing.
Oh, if you care about what the beaver joke was, you know, I don't know why I wrote this down. I fucking hate this show, guys. Pamela's wearing this big oversized coat, big oversized fur coat. Gene looks at it and goes, is that a beaver coat? And she goes, no, it's fake. And Gene goes, you gotta be kidding me. I hate it here. I hate it here. I hate it here. I hate it here.
Kevin Nash then comes in with the Natural Born Thrillers.
I hate it here.
And he's rightfully upset, like, we just won the tag titles. Why the fuck are you interviewing the Whack Pack?
He's right. He's right.
And then, did you catch this, the random burial before he leaves? He goes to Beetlejuice. He's like, Elix, nice to see you.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Jesus. No, I got
just
him like
burying
like
Elix Skipper. What the fuck?
Wow. I missed that he was calling out Elix Skipper. That's fucking mean.
Yeah. The one sad thing was, I'm like, oh, I kind of see it. Elix Skipper's a weird looking dude.
He is, and he's short.
So yeah, we have a Miss WCW bikini contest later.
I don't want to.
Before that, though, we have the Insane Clown Posse coming out to the ring.
Oh, and happy 2000. They're dropping the R word.
Yeah. Violent J wants to talk about hardcore and notes Vampiro isn't here due to like an injured spleen or something. And Violent J just like runs through a bunch of JCW wrestlers, like how like you think hardcore? What about fucking
I don't know
Crackhead Bob or fucking yeah. And he challenges Mike Awesome and his special needs bus.
Yep.
Totally the word he used.
That caught me so off. I have not heard somebody say that in like sincerity.
He hit it so hard.
So hard. I haven't heard that since like 2008. Like that's just a word that has completely fallen out of our vocabulary.
Ooh,
and hearing it's like, whoa.
I was going to say, I can't imagine you watching like 99-2000 Kane because Jerry Lawler likes to drop that word all the time.
Really?
The big red blank.
Really?
Yep. It's like a weekly fixture. He can't
Jesus
wait to fucking
Christ.
Say it.
The world is so different, but also not.
So Mike Awesome accepts the challenge and comes out with his bus, now clean. And we know this because Scott Hudson has the line, "The bus has been washed."
Is he like incensed by that? Or
I don't
is he
know.
Proud?
I think he's hyped. I don't know.
What the fuck?
So the ICP go to the bus. Awesome sprays a fire extinguisher coming off the bus to like stun them. He's going to hit weapon shots around the bus and Violent J grabs a table from like random like nook of the set. I'm like,
yeah,
where
just,
was that?
They just have tables stored places, I guess.
Shaggy 2-Dope and Mike Awesome make their way to like the hood of the bus and slowly up at the top. But before they get up there, Mike Awesome throws Violent J off the hood of the bus through a table below. I'm like,
hell
oh
yeah,
shit.
That was cool.
Mike Awesome stops Shaggy 2-Dope from throwing him off the bus and hits an awesome bomb on the roof of the bus. And apparently the bus has been washed because it was pretty
slick.
Because Shaggy 2-Dope just slides off the side of the bus. Like, it's not voluntary. It is just like he lands and he just kind of.
Gravity took him.
Yeah. And Mike
you can
Awesome.
Tell, you can tell that Mike Awesome is terrified at this moment yeah. because he does the bomb and sees the slip happening. And you can see him just like crawling and grappling to grab Shaggy's like his foot or something.
Yeah. He
and
gets him enough to like yeah. slow it down to where he does not just fall the, I guess, 12 feet onto his head.
Oh my god. But because he did still fall, but he falled slower and I guess gave him enough time to like get his arms up because he ended up being fine. But Mike Awesome runs down off the top of the bus and quick pins Shaggy 2-Dope for the win.
I think also the fact that that was the finish, so it's like, all right, let's quickly wrap up this match and not.
Yeah, but still, just the speed that he went down like off the bus to pin him, I really think he thought that Shaggy was injured. He's like, we need to finish this match and get this guy some help.
I don't think anything too terrible happened to Shaggy. I could be wrong. This is the last match, at least, I would assume, appearance of the ICP.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They don't wrestle anymore, and they just no-showed Thunder. And I know Vampiro is shortly also gone, so I think we're done with the ICP.
That's kind of a bummer. I mean, I didn't need them in a match. I was kind of. Was this the first time we saw them actually wrestle?
No, we've definitely seen them okay. wrestle. Because we kind of noted, like, they weren't bad.
They're not bad. And so, like, that's kind of what makes me, like, a little bit sad. But I'm going to miss having them on commentary.
Yeah, they were a bit of fun. I had no issue with them being here. I know some people were like, oh, what the fuck are they doing? They're not, you know, they. Like, the show loses credibility if they're on. And I'm like, no, they were fine. And they could do some stuff.
Right.
Like, they were never put in a spot to be like, look how dominant they are.
Yeah, they were never like, look how great these guys are. These are a bit of fun.
It's Vampiro's buddies.
And they're not bad.
Yeah.
And I kind of like having a reprieve from Vampiro every once in a while.
We will never find out, though. Magnets.
How do they work?
Yeah.
God.
I forget if they answered that in the song or not, admittedly.
Oh, I never actually listened to the song.
The song is vastly different than you'd think it would be. But yeah, I don't feel the need to do a whole song and dance goodbye for the ICP.
No, definitely not. It's just going to be like a, yeah, thanks for playing. This was fun.
I will note, I don't know that we'll ever do it. But they have some weird, like, pay-per-view in, like, 2010 or 2011 that has a bunch of legends on it. It's bizarre.
They host it?
Yes.
Because they have JCW.
Yeah. So, I know it's available online. Like, it's easy to find. But it's just like a weird like legends show. It's not infamous enough to be like a Heroes of Wrestling thing, but like it's basically what if Heroes of Wrestling actually kind of worked out?
Oh, really?
And wasn't a terrible mess.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
But I don't know that's any good either.
Yeah, well, if it's better than Heroes of Wrestling, then it's a win.
Emily, every show is better than Heroes of Wrestling.
Exactly.
Emily, the main event of that show in 2011 was Bob Orton and Roddy Piper versus Mick Foley and Terry Funk.
Jeez.
And I'll move on with 2011, Greg Valentine and Tito Santana.
Greg Valentine's still alive?
He's alive now.
Really? Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, sorry. I can't move on before noting Mike Awesome's line as they're like cutting away. Or during the replay, you just hear him go, 1976 rules.
So is that the year that he is deemed
I guess,
he is in?
I guess.
1976. That's such a random year.
Yeah. All right. Backstage, Major Guns is getting ready for the contest. The Cat and Miss Jones are headed to the ring, but first, we see David Flair is lost and pulls up to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, supposedly to get directions.
David Flair asked the very real employee of Chuck E. Cheese. I know I said that a bit sarcastically, but no, this is clearly not a paid actor.
No, she is just a teenager who was like, hey, you want to make $50?
Yeah, because, you know, he's David Flair being crazy, and he's committed to the bit, she is not ready for the bit.
No, she very visibly flinches and is like,
yeah. Bless her, she's not a performer.
God, no.
Yeah, he's like, where's this road? And he's like, oh, wait, you don't know? You're covering for the guy. He's here. And he jumps into the ball pit. And she's like, you have to leave.
Sir, you have to leave. Sir, please leave. Yeah, what? The acting levels in this episode are
hilarious.
Crazy. So good.
But then get the Cat and Miss Jones coming out to the ring. I realize when I say Miss Jones, it's so hard not to slip into Taz. Miss Jones over here. Cat says he's here to make things easier for Booker. I'm like, what the fuck?
What does that mean?
He's facing Vince Russo. He also just like takes him over to be like, Mark Madden, you fat piece of shit. I'm like, All right.
That felt real, honestly.
He notes that like, hey, in this cage match, I'm like, wait, I don't remember Russo mentioning earlier it was a cage match, but
I thought commentary pulled our focus to the cage, but I may be wrong.
I don't remember seeing it, but it is possible. Yeah. So basically the Cat rules, if Vince Russo's buddies interfere, he'll fire them. Remember that.
Heard.
We then get Mike Sanders coming out. The guy calls his group the Natural Born Ratings Killers.
Yep. Well.
Sanders says he's here to make sure the Cat doesn't screw Russo and...
And he calls him a cupcake.
Yeah, and he draws out asshole chants. The point is, like, I think even commentary is like, we have a show to do. Keep going.
Mike Sanders really thinks that he is something, and he's just not.
He is above average.
Is he, though?
Terry Taylor last week called him Average Mike. I'm like, oh God, that's such a true burial. And I know you don't mean it as hard as it is.
Average Mike.
Sanders says he's here to negotiate with the Cat and threatens him. And the Cat blocks a baseball bat shot and takes out Sanders. We then get the Wolfpack music hitting and Kevin Nash comes out with the Natural Born Thrillers.
Note that it's not the Natural Born Thrillers music.
No. Kevin Nash is taking over the group.
Uh-huh.
They do a little huddle and then all the Thrillers go to the ring and... The Cat fights him off.
Yeah.
Until, like, he gets hit from behind with a baseball bat.
Again, kind of burying the Thrillers.
Notably, not doing any action here tonight, Kevin Nash.
Nope.
He came out pointed. That'll be a payday. Thank you very much.
Yep, pretty much. But again, like, there are 12 of these guys. Like, there are so many of them.
I think there are 7. I think
there's, like, 45. I don't know. But the Cat just, like, plows through all of them so quickly and so easily. It's such a bad look for this group.
Did you catch the chant while the Cat's getting beat down, though?
No.
I don't know why, but we get a We Want Hall chant.
Oh. Okay.
Why in this segment? Because Nash's not here?
Because it's bad and Kevin Nash is there.
So they beat down the Cat, and, like, we just cut to backstage in the middle of the beatdown.
Just cut it. Just be done.
Like, Tigress and Paisley just gassing each other up.
We love girls supporting girls.
Like, very women's bathroom and a nightclub vibe here.
You've never experienced that. You don't know the pure joy that is a women's bathroom and a club or a bar.
But yeah, fuck the Cat, I guess. Just like, oh yeah, he's dying. What are ladies up to?
The most support I've ever felt is from the girls' bathroom at this Irish bar we went to when we were in college. I went there one night. I can't remember what was going on, and I was, like, a little bit sad, but I was in the bathroom, and, like, five or six of these other, like, sorority girls came in, and they hyped me up so good. It was such a magical night, such a magical moment. At, like, an Irish pub. It wasn't even a club. It was just a bar. It was amazing.
And Emily, are you ready?
For what, Nick?
It's time for the Miss WCW Bikini Contest.
I want to cry. Guys, listen, I need to preface this. I don't know how to preface this. This is the worst segment I have ever experienced in a wrestling show. I have never felt so uncomfortable. I've never felt so out of the loop as an audience member. I've never felt so disgusting. I watched this at work during my lunch, and I had to turn off because I was afraid that somebody was going to come around the corner and see it, and I was going to get fired for, like, watching porn at work. So that's where we're at going into this. It's fucking bad.
Yeah, I think, but we'll talk about how actually bad it is at the end, because there is discussion about that. But we get Mean Gene and Pamela still in her big coat. They're in the ring to set up the contest. And I'm like, oh, we're pretending Pamela's not going to be in this.
Yep, sure are. I called that when I saw the coat the first time.
I thought she was just hiding what she was wearing. I didn't realize she wasn't part of it until they had her here.
Oh, valid.
So Mean Gene brings out the whack pack, except we're missing one. Hank the drunk dwarf is late.
Yeah, the angry drunk one.
Yeah, so he shows up eventually. He touches Tori's ass, and I don't think that was part of it.
No, he...
Tori looks kind of pissed.
He fondles her a little bit, but he's also carrying something in a bottle, and it's a water bottle, but let me tell you, that's not water in that bottle. No. What the fuck was that man drinking?
I got, like color-wise, I got, like, malt liquor vibes.
Yeah, because it didn't look like... It didn't look like whiskey. It was, like, a weird color.
Yeah. So we have our contestants. We start with Che. Oh, wait, sorry. Hank is still getting the ring.
Yeah, give him a second.
He's struggling. Yeah, so Nitro Girl Che. She comes in, and, like, she's wearing, like, a big dress shirt. One, I have a feeling that's Kevin Nash's.
Yeah, for sure.
But she doesn't, like, do a bikini reveal.
Yeah.
Because they go, our next one, Chiquita. And, like, Che casually opens her shirt. And, like, Chiquita also doesn't do a reveal. I'm like, what are we doing here, gang?
Yeah, no one really knows how to do a bikini contest, I guess.
No, that's a lie. Because next up is Tori Wilson.
Tori knows what the fuck
she's
doing.
She comes in, does the big reveal. It's great. Also, looks great.
She looks fantastic. I hate that she got fondled.
We then have Tigress, who is like, oh, I'm not going to do a reveal. Calls for Paisley. And Tigress, I'm like, I feel like I've seen you wear this just, like,
yeah,
out
it's
to
just
a match.
Weird.
We then get Leia Meow, who is wearing her dominatrix outfit, wore the same gear on Thunder.
She also has her little, like, whip thing. Or not whip. What do you call
Riding
it?
Riding crop is what you're looking for.
Riding crop. Sure. Why do you know what that term is?
It's a horse thing, Emily.
Is it?
Yeah. The original use of that thing is horses, not,
okay.
You know,
okay.
Not BDSM.
Okay.
But it has been repurposed.
Yeah, no kidding.
Did you catch Tony's call during Leia Meow's portion?
I just want to give a shout out to my wife.
Say hi to my wife.
Tony's like, you will not get me in trouble, WCW.
And our final competitor is Major Guns. And, like, Ash coming in, Jim Duggan just comes out. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's important to know that she's wearing an American flag bikini.
Yes. Duggan tells her to shut her mouth and cover up. And I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, Jim Duggan's heel turn. Not one I anticipated.
Duggan wraps her in a Canadian flag and they go to the back, except, like, oh, the flag falls off. But, like, credit to Jim Duggan. He managed to do the I'm going to cover you up thing. And I didn't get, like, a pervy vibe once. Like, it was very much a dad of, like, you're not going out like this.
Literally, yeah. Like, you will not dishonor our country like this.
And then Tony Atlas is like, no, I just work with my kids. Why are you mad at me? What the fuck?
Jesus.
So we have all our competitors. I guess Guns is out. And, Pamela says she's getting warm. And we cut to one of the other women, and the camera completely misses the reveal that, I guess, Pamela, or I guess, isn't entering the contest, but she's in a bikini.
She's not in a bikini, though.
Yeah, but she's not.
She's in, like, a crop top with, like, the boob part cut out, basically. So it's a very revealing crop top with a, like, wrap skirt that you would wear to the beach to, like, cover up a bikini. It's like a beach cover-up. But yeah, we entirely miss this. The camera does not see the jacket fall. We get nothing.
Whack Pack then are like, oh yeah, she's my winner. I don't think we ever get a winner declared. I don't think Gene really knows for sure. And I mentioned earlier, yeah, Pamela has heat for winning this because she no-showed the last contest.
The reaction we get from the Whack Pack on Pamela specifically, while all these other women are out with, you know, Hank groping Tori. It's just like, if they could, like, I don't know how to say this in a more PG way. If these men could be touching themselves on national television, they would be. They all would be.
Yeah.
The look on their face, the way they're readjusting in the seat, they are all pitch intense. It's really, really nasty to watch. I recognize that these women, a lot of what they do in this show is being objectified, and I recognize that they probably know that too. This felt like on a different level.
They also just add a level of sleaze to this.
Yeah, I think that's
because
it too.
What is the difference of having them there versus going to the crowd? Hey, nothing. You guys pick. Effectively the same. It's the same. But geez, they just add, just like, oh, hey, Howard Stern is popular.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Jesus, Howard Stern interviews at this time. I think I hear he's gotten much better and more professional as an interviewer in the last like 20 years. But
this is just a slap in the face to radio programming.
I say 20 years. I know he. I've seen interviews with him with John Cena as WWE champion, and he's like, "Wow, you're banging big broads. Why?"
Jesus.
Yeah, Howard Stern is a road I don't think you
want
to go down.
Oh,
for
I
yourself.
Don't want to. No, not at all.
Like the hey, we're just gonna have her sit on like a vibrator for a while.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Pamela is deemed the informal winner, I guess.
Yes, this upsets Leia Meow, who threatens to use the riding crop on Pamela, but just like. Is threatening it for so long, I'm like, okay, someone's late. And yes, the person who's late is Medasia.
But we can't skip over this. While we're waiting for Medasia, Leia's not really, like, hitting Pam with it. She's, like, lightly tapping Pamela's boobs with the riding crop. It is so porn.
Oh.
It is so porn.
Not to be a pig, but admittedly, we talk about, like, her bikini. Yeah, her top is, like, it just looks like a top. It doesn't look like a bikini top. Yeah.
No, it's just a crop top. It's not
yeah.
a bikini.
Yeah.
But Leia just like lightly tapping her boobs with the leather part of the riding crop. It's porn.
Medasia comes in, just has a little discussion with Leia Meow, then casually puts Leia's arm over her shoulder and hits the most casual scoop slam I've ever seen.
God.
The line from Heroes of Wrestling of soft slam there. Like, that is this.
Yep.
Leia's on the ground, kicks Medasia. And they catfight as the other women just fucking leave. Like, they are not, like, they're
they
like,
don't
oh,
be part
if,
of this.
Like, because I feel like that should just lead to, like, a all the women brawl. It's this whole crazy thing. No.
No, they're just like, I'm done. I don't want to be here.
Hard cut to Mike today and Scott Steiner. We're not going to move on that fast, though. I think, admittedly, the way I took notes on this gave it too much structure.
Yeah.
I think we made this seem coherent. This
it
was not.
It was not coherent. It was just nasty. It was sleazy. It was hard to watch. I think both of us kind of agree that this is the worst segment we've ever seen.
The problem is I've seen...
You texted me. I have the text from you, and I can read it verbatim.
I know. But I'm like, is this worse than Katie Vick?
My text to you was, Nick, the Miss WCW pageant. This is so uncomfortable. Your response, this was one of the worst segments I've ever seen.
One of the worst. Oh, it's definitely down there. I don't know that it's the worst. Bobby's Sisters comes to mind. I don't even know if you would have seen
that
one.
I'm good. You don't need to describe it.
Yeah. This makes the Miss NWO contest look credible. Like, that had graphics.
Yeah, that was...
It had
that
a
was,
clearly declared winner.
Yes, that was more of a pageant, though. Like, somehow that had better logistics than this.
It had a grain inspector.
It had a... We were inspecting those grains. This did not have any of that. This just had icky.
I hate the point I'm going to make, because it's correct. You didn't even do the boner stuff right. Like, the swimsuit reveal is the whole thing.
You're right.
Like, hey, look, this segment's going to be shit, but hey, what you're going for didn't even get over because you just didn't produce the segment right.
Right.
You just said, hey, we're going to do this thing. Go out there.
Go do it.
So yeah, half the women should not end the segment still in their robe.
Right.
Like, I feel pervy, but like, just producing a show-wise, you did a bad job on that element.
I know. I understand what you're saying, and there is no good way to say that without sounding pervy.
And they, admittedly, they also should not have let fucking Hank out there.
Yes.
Yeah. If the guy is stumbling to the ring and suddenly getting into the ring.
Right? I couldn't tell if, like, him coming in late was part of the bit.
I don't think it was.
Yes. Why did you let him go past gorilla position?
Admittedly, I forget, Elephant Boy, whatever the fuck his name is.
Frank. Fred?
He is like the professional one, it kind of seems. Like, he was coherent. he was trying to help out. I'm like,
that's true.
I'll give a little credit to him, but like,
I guess. I don't know. It was all just really, really bad.
I'd say the Whack Pack all went backstage and cranked one out, but we have a segment with one of them later.
They can do both.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this atrocity?
No one should ever have to experience this. I feel really bad for the women that are in part of this.
Yeah. And additionally, Hank who groped Tori is like right next to all the women. And like Che immediately like steps behind him. Like, nope.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm just realizing other complaints I have. All the women, once they do their bit, gather in the corner where they enter. So it just gets clogged up in that corner.
Because they don't want to be anywhere near these guys.
Yeah.
And like, what kind of balls do you have to be groping somebody who on television is quote unquote dating a pretty big guy next to a woman who is dating the biggest guy on the roster?
I don't watch fucking wrestling.
You're setting yourself up to get fucked up, though.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had done that to Shay.
Someone would have got shoot jacked in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. I don't like Kevin Nash, but I firmly believe he would have come out here and fucked that guy up.
Yeah, it's like, I would never want to fuck with Kevin Nash's wife.
No.
I'm going to meet Tarzan.
I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, let's move on to that Mike Tenay and Scott Steiner interview. They don't fucking, he doesn't say anything. Like,
Mike Tenay asks Scott, oh, what do you think of Medeja interfering in that segment? She's fine.
That's why she's one of my favorite freaks.
She can handle herself.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, Medeja probably could kick all their asses. Yeah. But yeah, Steiner like doesn't say much here. I was kind of disappointed. But like he gets attacked by Goldberg and security pulls him apart. I'm like, oh, okay.
I got you, sure.
We then get Disco in the ring with his duck. God. He says he's the only one in the Filthy Animals. He was formerly kicked out on Thunder, by the way.
I forgot about that.
He's the only Filthy Animal because the other ones don't got it like that.
I got it like that.
He has a new partner.
I swear to God, I thought he was going to say that the duck was his new tag partner.
No.
I was so convinced.
Emily, all right, do you want to hear this today? You want to hear this next week? Because he does actually have a new partner.
I have to know. Tell me.
Das Wunderkind.
No way.
Alex Wright's
back. He comes back?
Yeah. He's back as Alex Wright, too.
Hell yeah.
He is bald. It's kind of weird, but.
Does he and Sergeant AWOL have like a moment?
I don't know.
Oh, I hope so.
Because they're not really they're not in feuding groups right now. I don't know, but yeah.
If there's another like
Das Fun Boy.
If there's another like battle royal or something for tag teams, I want them to have like a moment like, hey.
They're both gonna pretend that didn't happen.
Probably.
But yeah, Alex Wright will be back on the next because I knew Alex Wright came back, so he's like, oh, my new partner. I'm like, oh, it's me, Alex Wright. Nope, it's Scott Steiner. I'm like, oh no.
He just comes out and fucks up Disco.
Oh yeah. He's just like one hit, nope, knocks the shit out of him. He also comes out with his mask and Steiner grabs out a mic and calls out Goldberg. And this is where he's like, no, I made you quit. And I'm like, did you actually
think? You really think?
Because like, it's different when you're taunting the crowd being like, oh, he's gone because of me. It's like, no, you were actually confused.
Yeah.
But yeah, he calls out Goldberg for a match and Goldberg comes out to the stage with a mic. He accepts and wants his rules. He's like, all right, no interference in the cage, no ref. There was some line of like, except after I like murder you, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But like, so who wins? It's like, oh, you win by escaping.
Sure.
And Goldberg runs the ring and the cage starts lowering. Steiner goes to bail, but Goldberg brings him back and beats him down around the announce table, like choking with a cable. Cage keeps lowering and the bell rings as Goldberg is throwing Steiner into the ring. So we have Scott Steiner versus Goldberg in caged heat.
This is like the first normal match on the card so far.
Yeah, which some would argue, not necessarily us, but what do you think was bad? This was the best match of the last pay-per-view.
Mm.
They are giving it away for free with 30 seconds to build.
Yes.
It's a terrible strategy.
Oh, yes. Entirely.
Goldberg hits a clothesline and a press power slam. Goldberg just keeps smashing Steiner into the cage and throws him back into the ring. Goldberg's strategy seems to be just work over the face of Steiner.
Yes. I mean, hey, it's a strategy. Which makes me think that Steiner's face is pretty healed.
Yeah, at this point.
If we're fucking it up like this, I think it's fine.
I don't know how long an orbital bone takes to heal. But
no clue.
Yeah, Goldberg keeps working over the face until a low blow. And Steiner hits a spinning belly to belly, but Goldberg hits a shoulder block. More offense to the face of Steiner until a Steiner clothesline. And then Scott Steiner goes up to the top rope and hits a diving clothesline. I'm like, who are you? Like, it's not a crazy move, but I'm like, you don't do that.
No, again, this is the first match of the card that's, like, watchable. Unfortunately, I didn't watch it that closely because I didn't care.
We don't have a grunt of the night, but Jesus. Goldberg hits a butterfly suplex in this match, and I literally noticed, I'm like, oh my God, it was just a big, like, yeah!
Oh, Jesus.
Steiner hits a running low blow, and Madeja comes out, so much for the no interference.
Yeah, well.
Steiner hits a T-bone suplex, and we see Madeja get in the cage. There's, like, a latch to lock this thing. Mm-hmm. It is wide open. She does nothing to, like push a ref out of the way or something.
No, she just
like,
opens nope, it just, goes in.
Yeah. She hands Steiner a lead pipe, and Steiner decks Goldberg with it. Scott Steiner then goes to leave the cage and, I guess, win. But, yeah, remember that NFL player we mentioned once earlier?
He's
apparently jumped
him.
The barricade and is blocking the door.
He's going to cost him the match.
Yeah, Jumbo. What the fuck?
Jumbo, yeah.
So, back in the ring, Goldberg ducks a pipe shot, hits a spear on Steiner, no jackhammer, and Goldberg just casually walks out and wins.
Sure.
And they handshake because NFL buddies, I guess.
Yeah, because
Goldberg
was a Falcon, right?
For like 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Goldberg suddenly has a mic and is like, Russo, you're next. I'm like, okay.
Okay, cool. Jesus Christ. This
was
pretty
good. Yeah,
but like, the problem is it came right after that fuck ass segment. So I was already dead to the world. I didn't want anything else to do with this show. I wanted to turn it off. And then they have this. And I'm like, ugh, fine, I guess. So I wasn't in the right mindset to watch this, you know? Just set this match up for failure.
I can't disagree. The last segment absolutely blew.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the setup for this. Of like
10 seconds of it?
What, no, well, yeah. Disco coming out and be like, I have a whole thing. And Scott Steiner coming out going, fuck your thing. I want to fight Goldberg right now. Like,
fair.
I thought that was great. And like the match itself was pretty good right up until the like hit a spear, casually walk out. Like,
yeah,
it just ended a little flat. But like, yeah, this was a finely worked match. Had good energy. Like, I enjoyed this match.
I guess.
But you're correct. It is still absolutely stupid. Mm-hmm. To just like
it's just hard to watch a match like this and be like, oh well, this was good, when I'm still trying to recover from that segment.
If you were flipping back and forth and you tuned out during the last segment,
yeah, that's true, you can come back and be like, oh shit, this was good.
No, I'm saying you potentially would have entirely missed this.
Oh, that's true.
But if something good was happening on Raw, it's like, oh,
true,
you would have absolutely just like missed this whole thing because you didn't build to it at all. We then go backstage and I popped way too hard at this. I also knew this was a thing, so I think I just kind of popped.
Oh,
also a little
yeah.
pop of like recognition. So Jeff Jarrett runs into Beetlejuice, who calls him Slab Nuts. And so Jarrett kills Beetlejuice with his guitar and goes, that's Mr. Slab Nuts to you.
Jesus.
I popped so fucking hard for this. I think a little bit of it was like catharsis from that segment.
That's
like,
why I liked it.
Someone needs to pay for that.
Yes. That's honestly why I liked it. I liked that.
If it happened to Hank, it would have been five stars.
Better. Oh my God, it would have been so much better. They probably were like making sure that Hank left the building. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Or he's being beat up by Shane Douglas. It's possible.
Well, I would say Billy Kidman is actually dating Tori.
I can't remember the timeline.
Yeah, no, they're together until like WWE time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, he might be getting beat up by Billy Kidman. But
not here tonight, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. I did love that. Like, you're right. It was catharsis. Like, Jarrett hitting this guy with a guitar, well-deserved.
And he wasn't even wearing a hat, so.
So he just actually took it.
Yeah.
Take notes, Gary Coleman.
Took it from, like, behind, too.
Fuck you, Gary.
We then get Pamela Paul Schrock backstage with Booker T. Booker says he also has backup, you know, referencing Russo and save the drama for your mama.
Yada, yada.
And I just, there was more to this promo. Pamela's facials during this interview.
It's like it's the first time she's ever spoken to Booker T.
She looks insane.
She does. Whoever did her makeup tonight did not do her any favors. Her makeup looks crazy. She was acting with her eyebrows this whole segment. It was distracting.
We then go to a match that you're like, why is this happening? I'm like, I don't know, but
I swear to God, they just had two hats like filled with names. One is just Steiner and Jarrett, and the other hat is just every person on the roster. And they just like, Jeff Jarrett is going to have a match with General Rection. Sure.
General Rection comes out with American flag, and I'm like, he has a single knee pad on. And I'm like, is that you selling the injury from last week? Because like, Thunder, his whole leg was taped. Here he's like, no. Nope.
It's like, I just got a little brace on it.
But the pants also weren't even, so I don't know that he wasn't wearing a knee pad on the other side, too. It was just covered by the pants. Jarrett attacks Rection from behind, and just very standard action. Jarrett plays the crowd. Like, everyone's phoning it in tonight.
Who cares?
Rection hits a clothesline and a pop-up sit-out spine buster. I'm like, damn. Erickson hits a power slam for a two, and we get Lance Storm coming out to distract the ref for Elix Skipper interference. Erickson fights off the two of them, but then goes up top, and Jim Duggan runs out, hits him with a 2x4, and Jarrett hits a stroke, gets the pin, and we get a post-match beatdown.
Yep. Who could possibly care?
The beatdown does include the figure four, because like that was my only like explanation for like why is he facing him? I'm like, do you want to do something with the figure four? Because
his knee is bad.
Who else has a leg submission? It's just, like Jarrett and
yeah.
MIA then come out, get beat down, just fucking job him out right there. Sting then comes in, takes out all the heels of the baseball bat. The heels bail to the stage, but Landstorm grabs a mic and is like, I'm going to challenge you to a match, but non-title.
I'm going to teach you respect. It gave such house show energy.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have anything for you two to do that made any sense with the story, but, like, we'll just figure something out right now.
Well, we joked, like, why are these two fighting? I'm like, yeah, because you booked all the tag teams earlier and you have nobody left.
Yeah.
Sting says it's showtime, so yes.
I guess.
We go to commercial and coming back, joined in progress. We have Landstorm versus Sting, which I'm like, all right.
Again, you do why this didn't right. we build yeah. this?
Storm is dominating Sting and manages to hit a dropkick. Sting counters a Russian leg sweep and starts a comeback, but gets crotched on the top rope. Sting fights Storm off, hits a diving clothesline, but Storm dodges a Stinger splash and sends Sting to the floor. They don't really do anything. Come back in. Storm hits a springboard dropkick back in the ring, and then he hits like a pseudo blue thunder bomb and goes up top and hits a diving crossbody, but Sting like rolls through and then hits a bulldog and a Stinger splash. Storm counters the deathlock into a Canadian maple leaf in a really smooth spot. Like, it kills me how good Lance Storm is and just, like, he was a fucking triple champion. And they're like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know that I even saw the belt this week.
No, I don't think so.
That's why it's not entitled.
Because they just couldn't find it. They just didn't have it with them. Imagine he left it in, like, the wrong bag. And
also,
to bring it.
Also, Storm loses. That's why. But Storm has the Canadian Maple Leaf in, and, like, it isn't locked in deep or all that well, but, like, Sting sells this, like, oh, fuck, I am in severe pain.
I'm like, I mean, reversing the Scorpion Lock into the Maple Leaf, like, that was a cool...
Oh, yeah.
That was a cool counter. Countering one move into the other, that's still a really cool counter, and, like, Sting selling that just, like, finally somebody is pushing someone else.
Yeah.
Like, that gives Lance Storm a bump.
Sting eventually gets the ropes, Storm goes for it again, but Sting hits Enziguri. And they trade some fun counters into a Sting suplex, and then Sting goes for like a scoop slam kind of thing, but Landstorm lands on his feet on the flip, so Sting turns it into a Scorpion Death Drop and gets the win.
I mean, it was cool.
Yeah. Fun little match. Again, yeah, I could have built to it a little bit.
Gave house show energy, but honestly, not bad.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that I'm like, oh, Sting is absolutely winning this, or there's going to be a fuck ton of interference. Like, there's no way. Storm's just going over, which sucks for your secondary champion.
But it's still nice that, like, Sting is willing to at least sell for Lance. Like, no one else right now is giving anybody else that kind of grace.
Yeah, I forget which week it was where, I mean, actually, I'm citing multiple examples of the Thunder where Goldberg just came out and killed Team Canada just because he was feuding with Brett. And, like, Kevin Nash came out, just killed Lance Storm. It's like, yeah, he lost, but like he still looked good. He's done worse.
He lost, but he looked good doing it.
We didn't see David Flair pulling up to a house.
Oh my god, this is the worst.
Going to commercial, back from commercial, David comes into somebody's house, and
who are you looking for?
You probably noted the Chuck E. Cheese employee wasn't a performer.
Who are you looking for?
Yeah,
I'm giving it the same amount of gusto.
I think of it too much.
Who are you looking for? Get out of my house. So it's just like this lone white old guy. David just comes into his house and just starts like ransacking the place looking for 977 Oglethorpe.
Ransacking. He's just going from room to room. He's not doing shit.
He's not touching anything. But he's like, where's 977 Oglethorpe? You're hiding him. And the guy's like, that's next door. It's so funny. He doesn't know where he is. Commentary does have the funny line of like, this is why he needs to have Smooth drive him everywhere. Because he doesn't know where he's going.
Describe that as a funny line?
What's wrong with you? Nick, the bar is so fucking low. I am ready to be done with this podcast forever because of this episode. So you need to let me have my tiny little glimmers of hope, okay? This was so fucking bad, okay? Let me have it.
So David goes next door. The camera just like stays on this guy's porch for whatever reason.
I'm going to call the police.
And he goes next door and whoever it is isn't there. And David Flair goes, I got a message for him. Tell him I'll be waiting here for him. And then David Flair leaves.
But the thing is, A, you don't know who you were looking for. B, B, you didn't say your name. C, the message didn't actually provide any details. So all this guy has for his neighbor is some guy said he'll come look for you. What does that mean?
Which, I guess, based on this, because they're still teasing Ric Flair, it can't be Ric Flair.
No, because he would have known his father's house.
Yes.
And, supposedly.
And the way they're doing this, I don't know who the fuck the first idea was. It can't have been Buff Bagwell.
No.
They are hyping this up way too much for the eventual fucking reveal of Buff.
Oh, is that the reveal?
But I don't even know that he's even the actual father. That's what the feud ends up being. But
this is what makes it make no sense, too. He watched the video. He saw the guy in the video that he destroyed.
But if it was somebody
that he knew, why would he just have an address? Why wouldn't he be like, where is Buff? Where is like whoever? He would know who he's looking for. Be like, where?
Well, no.
We're just using pronouns.
Well, he looked up someone's address, so he does know who it is.
I guess that's true. But use a name.
Yeah, but that's for this, because they don't fucking know who they want to be right now. And also, I get, the more I'm thinking about this, I guess it would have had to have been a West Coast home, because it was daylight and they were cutting to this like it was live.
Also, this was in New York. Find me. Exactly.
So if it was West Coast, it would still be daylight like it was.
But find me a house on Manhattan. Hell, even in Brooklyn, that looked like that.
Long Island, Staten Island might have some weird shit like
that. You
think so? I don't know.
Those houses looked too big and had too much space in between them to actually be a
New York house. I don't think they ever said
he
was in Long Island.
You're right, they didn't. I'm just assuming.
That's why I'm saying it has to be West Coast.
I'm just assuming, you're right.
Regardless, I'm putting far more thought into this than they are.
I hate this show.
Well, hey, we're almost at the main event. We get Mean Gene.
Oh, that will help.
With Vince Russo. He's wearing shoulder pads, and he literally says, I got nothing to say. You booked the promo, asshole. You're running the show.
I can't remember if it was Gene or if it was somebody on commentary. He says, I have it on good authority that Vince Russo grew up in Hoboken.
I was commentary there.
Yeah, I like that.
But we are at the infamous main event.
Oh my God, I don't want to.
Vince Russo versus Booker T for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, which, depending on who you ask, dates back to like 1905 or something.
Jesus Christ.
Doesn't actually. It's a bunch of bullshit. The match is contested inside caged heat, which they call a cage match. It's two different things, guys. Know your own fucking vernacular. Russo comes out in the Giant's helmet. Jeremy Borash joins commentary to just fucking suck Russo's dick. Booker T comes out and just goes around the entire cage for reasons.
Because why not?
Just killing time here, lads. We then get a bunch of undercard faces coming out to surround the cage.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, it's the hottest show in town. They all want a front row seat.
I say undercard. It's also the mid-card. Just the mid-card's that bad.
It's just the roster.
I noted Russo was walking weird on the way out. Apparently, he was hiding a baseball bat in his pants.
It looked like he was grabbing his dick.
It's a fucking cage match. What does it matter?
Why are we hiding?
Yeah, so Russo just smashes Booker with a bat. And very similar to Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole at WrestleMania 27, the untrained wrestler is on offense through most of this match.
Yep.
So Russo goes to immediately leave. Immediately, smart.
All you gotta do is get out of the cage.
The door is blocked by Chavo and Mike Awesome.
Sure.
Russo then hits more bat shots and grabs a ladder. And Russo starts climbing the ladder and, like, breaks down just part of the ceiling of this cage.
Yeah.
All the faces, like, sprint up to the top of the cage.
They look like little bugs. They're all just, like, crawling up at hyper speed.
Well, now's chance. Drop down the ladder and just go out the door.
Yeah.
Everyone left.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then in this moment, while we're, like, looking at the top of the cage with all the everybody on the top, fucking Sting just rappels down.
No pop and circumstance. Like, I think his music, and, like, he really needs his music and lighting for that, because it's just a lad.
It just looks so silly. He's, like all of a sudden falling from the sky on this rappel.
No, you know what the exact vibe of that was? You know when you go to a rock climbing wall and you get at the top and then you have to drop down?
You have to drop down.
Yeah, that was the vibe.
That's
of
the vibe.
Because he drops the top of the cage and then rappels down all the way to the floor once everyone goes back down.
It was so silly.
Now, the only thing that was missing was like WrestleMania 15 Edge kind of thing where he's just hanging.
Just bleh.
You know, I don't think I've ever really noted. We joke about, oh, Edge is just hanging there. Do you remember the next thing that happens as part of that segment?
No.
They hang the Big Boss Man. It's
like
very different context of hanging there.
Oh, God, I forgot that was on WrestleMania.
They hung a man, Emily.
Jesus. Well, I didn't watch that one for my watch through.
No, you did that one once. That's all you got to do.
Yowza.
So Russo was hanging from the cage. They move the ladder and eventually gets knocked down. Booker slams Russo and takes his helmet off. We get a standing sidekick from Booker and he slaps Russo. We then get Booker working over Russo around ringside and Lex fucking Luger suddenly here.
Talk about no pomp and circumstance. We barely even get a full shot of his face.
Yeah, he slips Russo a pipe. By the way, on Thunder, he is going to go, I shouldn't have done that.
Lex Luger's going to say that?
Yep.
I hate it here.
Russo is just suddenly fine. Like, all the offense, nope, didn't matter. He decks Booker with the pipe. Russo puts his helmet backs on, takes out the ref for some reason, which, in hindsight, the earlier Cage Heat match, you had to win by escape.
Yes.
Can you win by pin in this one? Why is there a ref in there?
I actually don't know.
Lily doesn't come up.
No, it seems like you have to just leave. That's the only way to win.
Yeah, because Booker would have just pinned Russo at various points.
Right.
Oh, I'm answering my own question here, because the medics come in to look after the ref.
Yes,
because
the ref got, you know, beat down, so he's being looked after by the EMTs.
One of the EMTs first trips, admittedly, and then starts attacking Russo.
Yeah, so Nick almost missed this whole moment because he was laughing at the EMT tripping over the guys.
Yeah, it's Ric fucking Flair. What?
We were watching this, and he still, like, puts his head down to take a note about the guy falling. I'm like, no, look, look, look.
I'm like, what? Oh, shit. So
this is so chaos. It's just so chaos. So there's like a pile of EMTs helping the ref. Ric Flair, disguised as an EMT, trips over all of them and is now brawling with Russo.
He goes to put Russo in the figure four and Russo just like turns over. So, nope, never mind. Like, what?
Why? What?
So Flair and Booker like high five. The Natural Born Thrillers then come out, brawl with all the faces at ringside, and they all brawl in the back to, like, clear...
To clear the area, yeah.
Yeah. Booker hits a scissor kick on Russo and a spin-a-rooney. We get a Harlem sidekick, and then Booker goes to grab a mic to just tell Russo, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Why are you talking? Leave!
Booker then gets to the door, is about to leave.
Has his hand on the door, it's open, just take one more fucking step.
Goldberg's music hits. Booker and just freezes.
Booker is no longer has the ability to move his legs.
Booker then just stands there, lets Goldberg come in, goes great, and still keeps not leaving.
Step forward 6 inches, Book.
Eventually, when he goes to leave, Scott Steiner runs out and like smashes the door into Booker just to like stun him, because like Booker fights him off pretty quick. And then the timing on this is clearly fucked. Because Goldberg is in there to go after Russo.
Yeah.
Booker's about to leave. Russo has to sprint, like, roll out of the ring. And, like, he pushes Booker into the cage. And then Goldberg, who I guess was in the ring, is suddenly there to spear Russo through the cage.
Simultaneously with Booker leaving.
Yes. Notably, Russo's helmet comes off mid-spear. And so Russo's head smashes into the fucking ringside barricade.
Ooh, yeah. And I didn't think about that. That probably did hurt like a bitch.
That is going to be critically important to the history of Nitro. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Russo's out of the cage. Booker's out of the cage. Commentary doesn't know what the fuck happened. Booker and Goldberg celebrate.
As if Booker just won.
Kinda. They just celebrate like, hey, we got him. Like, it wasn't like I won a match. It was
just like, fuck Russo, we got him.
Yeah. And we go off the air, and it's unclear who won.
So this whole time, you thought the internet says, everyone says, this is when Russo wins the title. Incorrect.
He does. Technically, this is the match. Because I had to glance a little bit ahead on Thunder. On Thunder, 90 minutes in,
Jesus Christ.
They do an interview. He's in a neck brace, holding the title. And like, who's the champion? You're looking at him. That's the reveal.
What?
That's it.
Nick.
Yeah, that's it.
What?
No, like, they don't say it at the beginning. They just, like, we have an interview with Vince Russo. He goes, I got the title. I won. What do you mean controversy? I won.
What?
He also notes that, you know, I prove my point. I'm not a wrestler. I'm not gonna keep wrestling. So I'll make an announcement on Nitro. He's going to vacate next week.
We don't even get the moment of him actually winning the title.
No. This is it.
I hate this show. Oh my God, I hate this show.
Yeah. He will vacate it next week. He will never lose the title. And the reason he vacates it is because when the helmet comes off, he gets concussed to all fuck.
Yeah.
And he's already, they actually noted, like, he's already had 3 or 4 fucking concussions. Yeah. So that,
brain damage.
That concussion is why he leaves and doesn't come back for the rest of Nitro.
Wow.
He is going to book next week and then go home and then not come back.
My God.
So I don't even know how present he is on next week. I know there's like a backstage segment of him and Jeremy Borash. I don't even know if he appears in person. We'll have to see next week.
Oh my God.
But yeah, this is him winning. It is. And yeah, the way they reveal it is just like, yep, I'm chipping. No way.
Why would you think that I wasn't?
90 minutes in the show. Don't even like open thunder. Just like, nope.
Oh my God.
You know what the saddest part of all this is? The Miss WSW contest is still worse.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, we agree with that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that there would be like a Royal Rumble thing where they're like, frame by frame, who actually won? You guys left at the exact same moment. Both feet touched the ground at the same time. Frame by frame, who wins? Oh, Russo won by like 0.00001 seconds. Russo wins. I genuinely thought that was going to happen.
No. No. He just, yeah, I won.
Jeez.
Oh, and he also notes in that interview that it's like, oh yeah, I said Goldberg couldn't touch me or he'd be fired.
No, he
forgot
didn't.
About that. No, he did previously, like weeks ago.
Oh,
because he waived it the one like War Games match.
Oh my God.
So yeah, so hypothetically Goldberg is fired. Like, just, oh my God, yeah.
I fucking hate this show. Why would you keep watching?
Yeah.
Genuinely, why would you keep watching?
Like the one. The one defense I have around the finger poke is...
We're going back in time.
Well, in terms of like critical, like mass stop watching moments, you can make a case the product's still somewhat hot around that time.
Yeah, that... In hindsight, that's not that bad.
I mean, well, it is, but...
In comparison to what we now have, the show itself.
There are other things to enjoy where like, okay, the main event scene sucks, maybe it'll get sorted out, but like... Great cruiserweight scene, great tag team scene. Maybe the show will get better. Here it's like the show's shit. Every part of it's shit.
There's no one to root for.
And now we just, oh man, I really wonder, did Russo do this because he knew he was getting fired soon? He's like, no, fuck it, I'll have some fun.
Maybe.
I probably should listen to more shoot interviews of him talking about this. But yeah, he is about, I mean, literally next week's our last Russo Nitro. Which I think I noted we are going to do next week and then ECW because
we have to finish this.
I didn't want the weird gap.
We have to finish this.
Well, we get our San Francisco 49ers match next week.
Yay. Can't wait.
Yeah. So, Emily, thoughts on this show as a whole?
Hot, steaming garbage.
Yeah.
Still flaming garbage.
I texted you that the Thunder before this was dog shit. And
Is this worse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
This is at least like their A show, so they should be trying to do something.
They're actively trying to make it die.
Yeah. We skipped Thunder most of the time because we're like, well, didn't matter. And like they're trying to make it matter. So admittedly, I don't know what's going to happen to the weather report going forward if the Thunders just start being nothing again.
Yeah, we'll have to find out.
But, yeah,
I really cannot believe that ending. That ending just put me in a bad mood.
Well, it's funny. I think this match is one of those... We've kind of noted, like, the quintessential, like, downfall episodes of Nitro. It's like, yeah, I think people would tune into this because it's the Russo, like, title win. And then just, like, see the absolute shit show before it and go, no wonder it died kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is one that's very easy to look at and go... Oh, yeah, this is a company headed towards the grave.
Oh, 100%. And again, with hindsight, it makes sense. If you're watching this week by week in the moment, you don't know that it's about to go under. Like, maybe you can infer that it's not doing well, assuming you're not, like, reading the dirt sheets every week.
Yeah, I do know for next week, the first backstage note I have is, oh, there's rumblings of a sale going on.
There is. There actually is. I just read about it in Controversy Creates Cash. WWE around this time has put in an offer to purchase WCW. It doesn't go through, but that is actively happening at this time.
But Emily, I think we could go on and on about how shit this is and state of everything. I think let's just wind it on down here with best bit, worst bit, and MVP. I'm actually very curious to all your answers for this.
I will be honest, I don't have an answer for two of them.
Well, we start with best bit. What do you got?
I guess in hindsight, my best bit is Jarrett guitaring Beetlejuice.
That's what I got. Really? I considered Steiner and Goldberg, but
I couldn't in good faith get this to a match. Just
the finish kind of killed it, but like time to joy like ratio. Jarrett hitting with the guitar, like, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
All right, Emily, what is your worst bit?
Nick, I'm playing my card.
It's fine.
I'm playing it. Whole show worst bit. Whole fucking show.
Things I mildly enjoyed.
Nah, dude.
To me, the Goldberg Steiner match, the Beetlejuice segment, and the Sting Lance Storm match are just the only things holding it out from the whole show. It's not much, but yeah.
It's not enough for
me. I'm going to go with the Miss WCW Bikini Contest.
You're absolutely correct. If I didn't give it to whole show, it would have been that. But
that is the worst bit of the whole show. 100%. But, yeah.
But the whole show is just flaming garbage.
And then, Emily, who is your MVP?
I really struggle. I don't entirely feel confident about it, but I guess Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, I'm like Goldberg, I guess. Put on a good match.
I guess.
He did not botch spot with Russo.
That's true.
Could imagine they go to do it and the cage doesn't break. Goldberg has said, I was waiting for the helmet to be on because I was going to knock the bejesus out of him and I didn't want him suing me.
Oh, shit.
He's like, I'm taking my shot right fucking here.
Good for him.
So, yeah, I'm giving it to Goldberg.
I hope he doesn't get sued.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, good.
No, it was very much look, I'm going to do this as safely as I can, but I'm also going to do it as stiff as I can.
Jesus.
Like, he didn't plan for the fucking helmet to fall off.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
No, he planned to just knock the ever-loving wind out of Russo.
Ugh. This was a tough one, dude.
Yeah, this was not great. But hey, Emily, there's one more. That's all it
is. And then what, Nick? And then what?
I don't even know who takes over booking.
I don't either. And I fear that it's going to become just boring. Right now it's bad, but it's just going to become boring.
Well, yeah, next up is the October 2nd WCW Monday Nitro. If you want to listen to all of our back catalog of all of the previous Russo Nitros, you know.
All the other hot garbage.
Yeah, all the fun we've had. It's available everywhere podcasts are found except for SoundCloud. You can follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod or Butts in the Seats Podcast. And then, as Emily mentioned, I think she's also in a bad mood because we went from doing one part of Controversy Creates Cash to three parts of Controversy Creates Cash.
Yeah, we have recorded episodes almost every day this week.
Yeah, we talked about that book for, I think, 7 hours total.
Yeah.
And yeah, so part two and three will be coming soon. And we're actually going to be doing part three sooner than usual because we're going to be getting back TNA's move to Monday nights, except not anymore because we're back to Thursdays.
Because fuck it. No, I decided that we need to just crank Controversy Creates Cash out because I don't want to mess up our planned calendar more than I already have.
Yeah. Emily, any closing thoughts before? I don't know if you're headed destined for wine or a nap right now.
I really don't know either.
Well, as we recover, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Butts in the Seats Podcast, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.